Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and today's date is August the 10th in the year 2022. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen. You know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show is, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, it serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar design, charge, EV manufacturing, workforce development, and installation companies, and other African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities. To utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiative for solar installation projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also, to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. You also know, if you join us on a regular basis, that this program is funded by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF, HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show. Now, let me tell you a bit about the Black Sports Legends Foundation. You'll find my website by logging on to the Black Sports Legends Foundation.org. And if you find my site to be old and outdated, with some information that should, with changes that need to be made, then you need to go down to the bottom of the page and make a donation for that purpose. I agree. I've left that site up since 2010 and kept the hosting and kept everything on it to show people the work that I put in my lifetime trying to support our historically black colleges and universities, and the type of projects and our concepts and ideas that we've come up over the years and the struggles that we've gone through then. And as they say, the struggle continues. So for me, the future is now at 70 years old as an African-American brother in North America. So we're going to make this real plain. So when you go there, you'll find out who is bringing you this information by way of. Also, this show is brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation. We are not 501c3 as of yet with our status. We are nonprofit, still working to get everything in place. But as you know, working with us can be sometimes difficult. And I will confess to that reality. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have scheduled guests today to be on our show. But we have reached out and looked at, and I think we're going to bring you some information that I think you really need to know about. And we're going to talk about two subjects today, and that's going to take up about this, our entire hour that we're going to be on the air today. In our first portion of our show today, we're going to discuss the roadmap to equity implementing racial equity and support for undeserved communities at the Department of Energy here in Washington, D.C. The second part of our show today, we're going to examine the EDA Good Jobs Challenge, which they just selected 32 cohorts around the country, and out of $500 million, only one African-American institution, nonprofit, or business entity got only $23.7 million out of $500 million. And if I'm wrong, I stand to be corrected. When we finish dropping this information on you today, so those who listen to me, you know that that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. So we're going to take a slight pause for the cause here as we are getting ready as we say, crank up the mic and let you go get you some coal or whatever you might be doing. And you can join us by calling 646-668-2948. Once again, you can join me by calling 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after you dial that call-in number of 646-668. 2948, because you're going to be in our green room and we want to bring you on into the living room so we can have this conversation today as we kick off another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as I've indicated before, I took that little musical interlude and a little break there to sort of catch my breath. That call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, we're going to put this into proper perspective. That's why I think this is going to be a very, very interesting show for you today. And we're going to try to frame this around this roadmap of equity that the Biden and Harris administration is supposed to be implementing racial equity and support for underserved communities at DOE. But by the end of this show, we're going to ask the question, is this just something printed on paper? Is this real? Because the bottom line with me is how much of this American Rescue Plan, Build Back Better, and how many of these dollars are reaching us, our businesses, our churches, our institutions, and our people. And if the money's not getting to us, and everybody else is supposed to be delivering these services for us, so what we got an invasion of everybody going to take care of us and do for us because they got the 501c3 or the nonprofit to deliver this service, and they got the best proposal and rationale to do something for Black folk. I hope I put that in the correct perspective. On his first day in office, Biden signed an executive order, which you heard that executive order number written time and time again on this platform, 13985. On advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government. It's a link here in blue. You can go to my website at Positive Change. You can click on that link and it'll take you right to that. In doing so, the president called for the total transformation of government into an entity that centers the concerns of Black, indigenous, and people of color and underserved communities. At the Department of Energy, this meant embarking on a range of efforts focused on identifying barriers for underserved communities to access DOE's programs, benefits, services, and procurement opportunities, all areas that the future of the Biden administration whole of government approach to advanced equity. Across the complex, we engage in a comprehensive evaluation of the whole of our activities, including deep assessments in procurement, financial assistance, research and development, R&D, demonstrations and development, and stakeholders' engagement. These five subject areas are led by senior leaders from across the department and supported by over 150 personnel. Finally, after over 10 months worth of planning, the department submitted its first ever plan to advance equity and diversity at the agency to the White House. DOE Equity Action Plan. DOE's new Equity Action Plan puts a pilot light on equity and justice, which are at the heart of the agency's mission. From the households that experience the brunt of energy burdens and battles energy insecurity to universities using department funding to accelerate the deployment and adoption of cleaner and more affordable power. We want to make sure we are doing everything we can do to deliver this promise. Within this new roadmap are five strategic goals, which are the foundations for helping us create a more inclusive, diverse environment. These pillars, which will be carried out over the next several years, include the following: addressing gaps in data collection to facilitate data-informed decision-making. The first action is the foundational because it will allow the department to know where it stands regarding who, what participant in its business opportunities. With this information, we will be able to effectively strategize to ensure all communities benefit from the department's resources. From then on, each successive goal aims to increase participation by the underserved communities, increase opportunities for new applicants to DOE funding opportunities. Our second goals aim to improve how DOE communicates about its opportunities and averts alert resources constraints, financial, IT, human resources, etc., through a range of activities, including the creation of a central portal for DOE acquisitions, opportunities, and streaming and other relaxing subcontractors' requirements. Number three, increasing participation in DOE's R&D and National Assistance Program. This third goal seeks to increase diversity in financial assistance from the agency. This goal includes the full spectrum of R&D activities, including basic and applied research for women, small disadvantaged businesses, minority-serving institutions, persons with disabilities, Black, Latino, Indigenous, and Native American persons, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, and other persons of color, and the LGBT community. Number four, expanding strategic tribal and stakeholder engagement across DOE's programs. The goal for stand-alone, because we understand that stakeholders engaged in critical to building trust and diverse stakeholders and tribal entities. We aim to build this trust by bringing in experts in stakeholder engagement that can create an unfilled DOE-wide tribal and stakeholder engagement plan. Woo. Well, I'm glad this is happening for the Native American brothers and sisters. What about the African American community? Did I say bring up something that makes people uncomfortable when I got to talking about Africans born and raised and that live in America and Africans that have come from the continent to America? Where is our piece of this rock? I'm just putting it out there, ladies and gentlemen. Five, improving access to equity in DOE's Weatherization Assistance Program, RAP. Finally, DOE will take action to improve accessibility of the RAP by lowering deferring rates and improving the efficiency of emergency auditing processes that the dwelling owner own or occupied low-income person can receive benefits from RAP. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, talks about DOE's equity plan. The caption is called Embedding Equity into DOE. Okay? Our equity plan is a big leap forward in bringing the president's executive order to life. This is just one of many ways we're advancing equity within the department. Within the past year since the legislation was signed, we provided $12 million to 13 Native American and Alaska and Native communities for projects that will reduce energy costs and increase energy security and resilience. Pilot programs requiring all projects' financial assistance applicants to submit a plan of demonstration on how federally funded financial assistance projects will incorporate diversity, equity, and inclusion elements to promote the representation and participation of different groups in the RNDs and design the community's local energy action pilot program, specifically open to low-income, energy burden communities to help develop community-driven plans to more effectively leverage public and private sector resources to reduce local air pollution, increase energy resilience, lower utility costs and energy burdens, and create good-paying jobs, transforming our energy system into an equitable one starts with us, and it starts with ensuring our own practices and policies support American diverse energy prosperity. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a whole lot to say. They did a carve-out for everybody here except African Americans. Now, I ain't mad at them because they did these projects across the country. They every dime that they get, they deserve. Also, I think that there should be carve-outs for my community, the African-American community in this country, because, see, there was something called slavery, and it wasn't volunteer, and we had something called the government that legislated us into where we were. Now, Dr. Claude Anderson does a better job explaining this thing than I do, so you can get his book called Black Labor, White Wealth if you want to take up this issue and you find out that the information is there. But the bottom line, we can no longer think of equity, justice, and fairness as only ideals. Instead, we must be guiding principles. We are held accountable for every day that we turn into meaningful action. Through these commitments at the department and across the entire federal agency, we can begin to work to undo injustice faced by our country's old citizens and underserved communities. Click here to read the equity plan in full. Y'all gonna be surprised, surprised, surprised. Now, the whole equity plan is here. So I'm clicking on the equity plan. And you can find this on my website. You're gonna find the U.S. Department of Energy's Equity Plan Action Plan Agency Lead, Mrs. Shalanda Shalanda H. Baker, Secretarial Advisor to Equity. Now, this is an African-American sister that I know that they put plan together. See, I understand how our people are positioned and how we get people who look like us in a position running these departments, and then black folks, we ain't supposed to come in and question or ask where is reparations or carve-outs, because we done worked it another way. But what I found out has been worked, and I got a true story to tell y'all today. You still have to apply for these grants. And when you find out what just got played over EDA, if there was an indicator of what's going to play across this industry, then we got some problems. Now, I'm going to sort of look at, I read some of this already that Mrs. Baker said, but I want to sort of read a little bit of the off the first page. The Department of Energy, herein known as DOE, is responsible for ensuring the nation's security and prosperity by addressing its energy, environmental, and nuclear challenges through transformative science and technology solutions. DOE maintains the nation's nuclear weapons stockpile, reduces the threat for nuclear proliferation overseas. The nation's energy supply leads the nations in the areas of federal-sponsored basic research critical to the U.S. innovation and international competitiveness. Carries out the environmental cleanup from the Cold War nuclear missions and maintain those sites which operate 17 national laboratories. The department mission areas touch upon equity and provide an opportunity to advance justice. Now, there's an organization, ladies and gentlemen, called the American Association of Blacks in Energy. Now, this organization was founded because African Americans weren't getting a fair share and the opportunities in the energy industry long before they got talking about renewables as a main source of energy for the United States. Even though solar is not new, it's been around since the 50s, since the early part of the start of space exploration. It's not new. This is the first executive order. Now, the department's mission areas touch upon equity and provide an opportunity to advance justice from a households grappling with issues of energy burden and energy insecurity to universities advancing basic research, development funds, and business and community-based organizations that partner with DOE to deliver on its mission. The department has an extraordinary reach. Executive Order 13985, again, advancing racial equality and support for underserved communities through the federal government provides an opportunity for departments to examine its internal process and programs to ensure that the agency eliminates barriers to access, transforms programs and policies to open even broader pathways for the underserved groups to access DOE's resources and to stand up new programs to better serve communities. EO 13985 provides an opportunity for the department to continually strive for equity across its mission areas. Moreover, these actions and ongoing efforts will position DOE as a critical partner within the all of the government approach to tackling climate crisis. EO 13985 focuses on equity within the department's functions and programs, dovetails with to ensure that 40% of the benefits of its clean energy efficiency initiative and provides the blueprint for delivering on the historic Justice 40 initiative and implementing EO13985, the Secretary Advisor on Equity First stood up an exec set up an executive steering committee composed of senior leaders from across DOE. Executive steering committees then embarked on year-long comprehensive processes to assess the whole DOE's activities in the following areas: procurement, financial assistance, research and development, demonstration and deployment, and stakeholder engagement. The Executive Steering Committee members lead six teams comprised of over 150 DOE employees, DOE staff, and managers representing a diverse cross-section of DOE's programs and support functions. Each working group then proved its top priority, which were based on in-depth assessments of barriers to assess DOE's programs. From that list of priorities, the SAE determined the following five departmental priority actions to advance equity at DOE. That's a whole lot of verbiage, ladies and gentlemen. And these are the 5 points. Address broad gaps in data collection to facilitate data-informed decision-making, number one. Number two, increase opportunities for new entrants into DOE's acquisition, procurement, and financial assistance, number two. Okay, let me get back up here so I can tell you what three is. We got a little turning around. Let me slow my roll. Number three, collaborate with the OMB to broadly streamline the paperwork reduction action waiver process and set a uniform department standards for data collection. Ongoing accountability to determine the process within 2 to 4 year periods. DOE will also rely on newly collected demographic data to analyze trends and determine whether the numbers of applicants from the numbers of awardees. Let me stroll back up here. Okay. This got interesting there, and the page sort of jumped, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm trying to backtrack where I was reading from, so bear with me. Just a second here, and we'll be right back on top of this, because I think this is information that you need to hear. Okay? All right. I'm dropping back down. In the light of the department's overall acquisitions mix, DOE is setting up additional procurement targets for M&O contractors and the department that mirrors the president's ambitious spell-out directive M-22-03, Advancing Equity in Procurement, issued on December the 2nd, 2021, consistent with M-2203, by 2025, DOE will support the government-wide 15% of prime and sub-award dollars aligned to SDBs by ensuring the commitment of 15% of DOE's prime subawardees and the MO subcontracted dollars to underserved populations. In support of this goal, for 2023 fiscal year, DOE will advance the stretch of goals to 6% of its prime contracts doing SDBs following the calculation method for the Small Business Administration's scoreboard fiscal year 2023, 15% of M&O dollars should be to SBDs utilizing the MO data reported in the MOSR data collection system, with additional efforts to describe under this action its support for new entrants. DOE will also increase the database line spent with WOSBs, HUD zones, and SDVOBSs, which is aligned with M-2203. Now, they use a lot of verbiage in these government documents. That's why I don't like to get into reading a lot of them unless I know what that stands for. So with that being said, I'm going to take you back to what I think really matters. Based on what I just read to you, okay? Now, this is, of course, the Department of Energy that we're talking about. And I want to refer you to a request that the National Association of Blacks in Solar went to our Department of Energy and invited the head of the Department of Energy, Mrs. Jennifer Granholmes, to participate in a Zoom call with our African-American-based firms. Now, we understand that when you go and you ask the secretary of a major government agency, you got to have done your homework, crossed your eyes, and crossed your teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm getting ready to read to you is what we actually did. This document is dated, "Where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African Americans in the implementation of the Biden Green Infrastructure Plan," which is based on the executive order, which was the first thing President Biden did. This is dated 6/11/21. The American Association of Blacks in Energy, in conjunction with the National Association of Blacks in Solar Now, presents a webinar, "Where is the Green Economic Plan for African Americans in the Implementation of the Biden Green Infrastructure Plan? Executive Order 13985, Advancing Equity and Support for Underserved Communities Through the Federal Government." That is the title of the webinar that we tried to get the Secretary of Treasury to be a part of. We sent it to scheduling at hq.doe.gov, which is the scheduling secretary for Mrs. Jennifer Granholmes. Her response to us was, "There was a mix-up in her schedule, but we gave her if she could participate in a Zoom call either June 1st, June 22nd, 28th, or 29th. So there's four different dates, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we're talking about her addressing all of the African-American solar installation, design, workforce, development, EV charge, EV manufacturing, installation firms doing business in America. If you put all of them together, and out over 10,000 companies doing business in the solar area, you got 35 African-American companies if you can find them. And I know that's where the number is because we've been at this since 2015, 2022, about 7 years. So we got a pretty good feel on who is who and where they are. And we don't know them personally. We've done an article or had them on a podcast or something. So I'm just giving it to you what it is. Now, I would have been serving as the moderator, as the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, with Mr. Tracy Woods, who was the vice president of the American Association of Blacks in Solar Energy. He's no longer there. My dear friend, Brother Woods, has moved on. Introduction, moderator, written statement, and presenters. Okay? Number one, Ron Bethay, myself, yours truly. Introduction, overview, written statement. And I was going to use about 10 minutes to do that. Number two, Will Shirley, president of Sundial Solar, USA, and vice president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, review and disparities in the solar industry, guidance and funding for the operation of NAVS in 5 minutes. Mayor Johnny Ford, he used to be the head of the mayor of Tuskegee, the need for funding NAVS and the voluntary support for the World Conference, support from the World Conference of Mayors written statement, 5 minutes. I'm talking about the World Conference of Mayors, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people are unaware of, but we are members and we have their support. Dr. Lillian Abrams, 5-year HBCU Green Sustainability Plan, written statement, 5 minutes. Mark Davis, president of DC Solar, WDC Solar, and he was going to speak about a program that he put together, which has been referenced in presidential materials coming from the briefing room from the White House called the DC Solar for All program, which he helped design with Mr. Ted Tarbell, who's the director of DCSEU here in Washington, D.C., who I know personally. Now, Efren Jernigan, Sunnyside Solar Project, Barriers and Many Roadblocks. This brother is based in Houston, Texas. They have a large landfill. They have been trying to build the largest community-based solar farm, about a 50-megawatt farm, which would be the largest in the United States of America that would be owned and controlled by African Americans. And the mayor of Houston is very supportive of that, and he's very progressive. So we felt very, very good about our lineup and our subject matter. Then you had Tracy Woods, as I said, vice president and moderator, introduction of the secretary, Jennifer Grant Holmes, 5 minutes to introduce her, and then we're going to give her 20 minutes to speak, and then we're going to have Q&A for about 15 minutes. And that was it, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that our companies were deserving of that. When you take a look at what we're talking about, this is an article that appeared in the New York Times on March 31st, 2021. It was written by Alicia, last name P-R-I-A-P-I-A-N-O, and Mr. Jim Turkishly. They wrote this article. President Biden on Wednesday released his $2 trillion plan to shore up the nation's infrastructure and create jobs. The sprawling proposal would be paid over 15 years of higher taxes on corporations. Here's how the spending would break down, and they give you, provide the breakdown. Under transportation, everything I'm really reading to you is based on billions. Among the proposals, modernization for 20,000 miles of highway and road repair, 10,000 bridges by 2030, where they want this work to be done and completed, the building of a network of 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations on interstates around the nation, The goal is to realize that the aging and crumbling quarters that the American people and the products from move place to place to while reducing the sector's reliance on fossil fuels that drive climate change. Estimated cost in billions, electric vehicle incentives, $174 billion. Roads and bridges, $115 billion. Public transit, $85 billion. Railroads, $80 billion. Disaster resilience plans, $50 billion. It says other 35 million airports, $25 billion. Improved road safety, $20 billion. Underserved communities, $20 billion. Waterways and ports, $17 billion. I didn't say nothing by no million. I said billions of dollars, ladies and gentlemen, of our tax dollars. Building and utilities, one of the largest investments, including more than $200 billion in tax credits and grants, is to improve building affordable housing. The goal is to make homes and commercial buildings more energy efficient, reduce the lead hazards of old water pipes, bridges, urban, rural digital divide, modernization, electric grids, and reliability. Now, everything is spelled out in billions, so I'm getting ready to go down the list because we want to move this and get this information out to you. Affordable housing, $213 billion. High-speed broadband, $100 billion. Electric grid and clean energy, $100 billion. Public schools, $100 billion. Water systems, $66 billion. Eliminate lead pipes, $45 billion. Child care facilities, $25 billion. Veterans hospitals, $18 billion. Community colleges, $12 billion. Federal buildings, $10 billion. Jobs and innovation. The plan goes beyond physical infrastructure, proposing more than $500 billion to be invested in manufacturing, workers training, and research and development. Do you know what I just said, ladies and gentlemen? $500 billion. This is what Biden had proposed. Now, we know what this was passed, but this is what he proposed. The goal of the president has said that he wants to position America to combat against China, compete against China and rivals in the race to build dominant industries and future like semiconductors and advanced batteries. Domestic manufacturing, $52 billion. Natural Science Foundation, $50 billion. Supply chain support, $50 billion. Semiconductor industry, $50 billion. Workforce development, $48 billion. Clean energy manufacturing, $46 billion. Research and infrastructure, $40 billion. New dislocated workers program, $40 billion. Climate technology, $35 billion. Small business support, $31 billion. Research and development, $30 billion. Pandemic preparedness, $30 billion. Research at HBCUs, $25 billion. Community investment, $20 billion. Innovation and competitiveness, $14 billion. Underserved communities, $12 billion. New rural partnerships programs, $5 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you know where the hammer and the axe fell when the GOP on Capitol Hill, the Republicans, saw this first proposed bill. They broke it up. Now you know what you got. You had the American Rescue Plan. And I told you how much money he said, $500 billion. And when you look at what they had in EDA, $500 million is a long way from the billions they're talking about. And out of $500 million, not billion dollars, million dollars, Black folks only got one institution got funded, $23.7 billion with the North Carolina A&T. Now, what kind of equity is that? I ain't making this up, ladies and gentlemen. I got it all here, documented. So I was able to, let me regroup here and sort of take a pause for the cause here, because, I mean, I've been on it for a minute here, and I wanted people to know about this. See what I'm saying? Now, Dr. Lillian Abrams, the Biden administration will comply with the Paris Accords. This is going to require a trained workforce to meet the goals. The Initiative 5 and the Equitable and Just National Climate Platform calls for the creation of new programs to deliver benefit to the EJ communities. That's in injustice communities. That's us. HBCUs are located in these EJ communities. They must be an integral part of the training of this workforce. A five-year sustainability deployment plan is ready, prepared, and it calls for a request for training for workforce development in the classroom, hands-on training using HBU facilities at a laboratory with we need $5 million requests to launch this pilot program for HBCUs. Well, she was too busy to come hear about this, but I know they read it because we sent it to them. I'm going to take a slight pause for the calls, ladies and gentlemen. I got about 9 more minutes on this here because this is a hot potato today, and it's cooling off now because we got a thunderstorm. But I got it going on in here, and I know I got it going on, and that's what we're going to keep it doing. We're going to tell Pete speak truth to power, because what I'm saying, if they got all these things going on and all these programs, I don't understand why the sustainability across America's $18 million from Tougaloo College, which the National Association of Blacks and Solar put together, we weren't funded. It was a $19 million request. And we understand. So I went on a Zoom call today to hear about who had strong and who had weak proposals based on what they're saying. You know, we know how that plays out. So we got to get it right, we got to make it right, and we got to make sure we don't put nothing out there that's not the truth, because we're speaking the power on this platform, okay? And we understand that. So we can tell everybody where to go to find this information on our website. Well, this particular information is located under our blog, News and Events. You want to go to the archives, June of 2021, and scroll all the way down to about halfway the page, and then you'll see it. Where's the Green Economic Development Plan in the implementation of the Biden infrastructure plan? I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. This is real talk. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a slight pause for the calls here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact, and we'll be right back because we got to sort of close the door here. Because this world is
someone singing, I can sing it. Life is a song worth singing. In the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life.
singing. I got
you. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet. And I was just breaking down some information on a webinar that we put together and invited the Secretary of Energy, Mrs. Jennifer Grant Holmes, to be a part of, to speak to all of our African-American firms in this renewable energy industry. Now, I understand that she provided American Association of Blacks in Solar an opportunity to for the people who are members of AID to hear her speak at one of their sponsored events. And what is very troubling to me is that we are always told we're not organized, we're not this, we're not that, but when somebody puts in the effort to try to pull us together and works as hard as I've worked over the last 5 years, and especially as I took on the responsibility of being the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, over and above of being the CEO of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC, which was doing the work, the same work that the National Association of Blacks in Solar was doing. The only thing was I was not a 501c3 organization, so we set out to form one, and we're still in that process of getting our letter of determination. So it's growing pains, ladies and gentlemen, but we understand that. The point is that what I try to make out to people is we're going to talk a little bit about North Carolina A&T lands this $23.7 million Good Jobs Challenger grant for clean energy. Now, I spoke with one of the vice presidents at North Carolina A&T, and what was interesting to me is that I had had several calls, Zoom calls. We had a Zoom call with Dr. Walters, the president of Tougaloo College, and we asked, and I asked of her, my ask to her, if she would please go public about the application that the NAB had put together with two of Baltimore, Maryland, outstanding African-American 501c3 nonprofit organization. Their area is of specialization is workforce development. WDC Solar, that runs an outstanding operation here in Washington, D.C. They provide workforce development training. We had Global Apprenticeships of Atlanta with a partnership with Department of Labor that would have placed these 750 applicants if we were able to get this funding. Tougaloo College, Mr. Will Shirley, the vice president of Abe, president of Sundial, he would have been hiring us. So we knew how we were going to place these people, and we put that in the proposal. But that was what they said was the number one thing. You had to partner with, A&T had partnered with Duke Energy, with Siemens Energy, some of the largest white-owned and powerful utility companies in America. So what chance does an HBCU have going up against any of our HBCUs? Because there were seven other HBCUs that had applications in different other areas of workforce development. Some were in cybersecurity, were in healthcare, and other arenas. So I'm saying if you're going to provide a carve-out for Native Americans, you got to provide a carve-out for our HBCUs. But us to only receive $23.7 million out of $500 million, and you had $15 billion worth of proposal requests, and you didn't have a $3 billion to go out the door, well, that was like the money that we spent to pay the grant writer, $8,500, we should have played the lottery with it. We had a better shot of winning something. This is a little disturbing, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. But I hope I brought you news that you can definitely use. So I wanted to drop that right before I close, we're at the end of our show today, ladies and gentlemen. We only programmed the show for 60 minutes, and we've done 60 minutes, but you want to tell everybody you know about this broadcast today, and you want to know that we don't want you to meet us back here. We want you to beat us back here. And I hope that we delivered on our promise that we indicated at the beginning of our show today, that we brought you news that you definitely can use, and you need to be picking up the phone, calling President Tony Allen at the Delaware State University, who head of the White House Initiative on HBCUs, and Mrs. Leslie Basterville, head of the National Association for Equal Opportunity in Higher Education, because we need an information session here on September, between when they roll in here for the CBC week, September the 20th to the 23rd, which is only about a month away, to have this discussion about this issue here, because it's a must conversation that we need to have, ladies and gentlemen. And with that being said, I want you to, like I said, don't meet me back here, beat me back here as I close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Till next week, we say go in peace.
Someone singing, I can just sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it.